Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Milan Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard and your phone calls right here today on New Life Live.
I really appreciate your program.
We married a little over 19 years, but exactly a year ago, I committed adultery.
So basically, I have a choice between living a celibate life by myself or going to hell.
What happens is when God's structures aren't kept in place, then things kind of get upside down.
There may need to be another church split. You may need to split and find a church that has an active children's minister versus saying something like we're uncomfortable being around a mom and a daughter.
It seems like there's a real disconnect between how she sees things and how you see things.
There's not much that's honorable in her. Maybe the only thing you can honor her for is for giving you life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here, and in studio in California is Milan Yurkovich. Hello, Milan.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good. And Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, Steve.
And me, Steve Arterburn.
Yes,
always
you,
good to be
course.
With you.
Yeah. And I want to just mention a couple of things as we get started, that if you live in Southern California, next Friday, October the 7th, we're going to have Friday Night Live at Faith Community Church in West Covina from 7 to 9. And we're going to tape a New Life Live program there, and Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham are going to be there. And we're going to be giving away some great prizes. I have no idea what they are, but I'm sure they're great. The event is free, so come and meet us out there at Faith Community Church in West Covina. That's on Friday, October the 7th. Also, put on your calendar, all you Northern California people, Milan's going to be up in Berkeley on the 22nd of October doing that How We Love Our Kids workshop.
Yep, should be a lot of fun. And First Press Church of Berkeley is a great church, reaching out to the community, other professionals, family. They really welcome people to come to that. It's a great group of people.
You know, that's a rather liberal area up there. It's always interesting to see conservative churches sitting right smack dab in the middle of liberal areas.
It certainly is. I don't think that there is an element. Obviously, Berkeley is known for that, but there's a lot of conservative people, you know, in the Bay Area and in the Berkeley area, and this is a very fine group of people.
Yeah.
That are just wonderful people.
In your workshop on How We Love Our Kids and in the book, what is some little insight that you could share with us that makes all the difference in the world?
Well, simply, a lot of books on parenting focus on how to work on the child and how to work with the child who's sensitive or the child who's strong-willed or these kinds of things. Our book starts off by saying, you know, there can also be a problem with the parent. We can be reactive. We can be avoidant, or we can be overly hovering as the pleaser parent, or we can be idealistic as the vacillator parent. We can be controlling as the controller, or even childlike as a victim parent. And what's one small change in you that would make big changes in your kids' behaviors? And that's the way we start our workshop. What's one small change in you and the possible big changes that will create in your child?
You know, it's not so significant what the child does as it is the reaction of the parent to the child, to
yes,
whatever they do.
A lot of us are very reactive to a child's behavior.
Yeah.
And we want to fix the behavior. One of the other things we teach in our workshop is, while we have to pay attention to the behavior, we also need to understand that their behavior is an immature language on their part.
Yeah.
They're trying to tell us something. And if we don't try to understand what the kid is saying through that immature behavior, we've missed them.
Yeah.
Because they could be saying something desperate, frantic, or important, but acting out poorly, and we've missed an important thing they're trying to tell us.
Yeah. All right. Well, I hope people will go to that workshop. So October the 22nd. Or I hope they'll get your book, How We Love Our Kids. It's the follow-up to How We Love, which just an amazing book that has helped so many people. And also, if you walk around a Barnes & Noble and go over in the religion section, you will see Walking Into Walls sitting on the religion special deal table. Go there. Buy one.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Let's go to those phones and talk with Shawnee from Allentown, Pennsylvania. WRGN is the station. Hello, Shawnee.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. I love your show. It's very heartwarming. I listen every day.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks. We'll try to be more interesting if you're listening every day.
My question is, I guess, more on the lines of how you think God and Jesus view me. As far as, I have many homosexuals around me in my life. Family, close family members on both sides, fellow coworkers, friends, that I found out maybe the last 10 years that were homosexuals. I love these people. I love the people that they share their lives with. My mind tells me intellectually I know what the Bible's opinions are, the truth. I'm sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's okay.
But my heart just loves these people in my life. I guess, am I sinning if I'm not telling them that they're living a life of sin? You know where I'm going?
Yes.
With this?
Yes.
I could never. They're such good people. They're wonderful people in their communities. But why would God give me the compassion in my heart not to want to say something to them? I guess I feel guilty that I'm not saying something more along those lines.
You're confused.
Yeah.
Well, torn between your head and your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I've always been very curious to what your opinions were with that question in my life.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
Really good people, loving people, mm-hmm. wonderful people of all sorts does not mean they're saved.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we are told that there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Christ. And the principal role of the body of Christ is to, number one, win people to Christ by the sharing of the gospel. And then number two, building them up in their faith. Those are two different tasks. But the first one is the one we're to carry to everyone, whether they, no matter what their lifestyle is.
Right.
And that's where we need to start. We need to start right there. And so we can say, well, they're good people. And yet there's a lot of good people that don't have a Savior to take them to heaven. And that's very alarming. We can't trust that goodness is enough to get anybody anywhere. We have to create the transaction of believing in Christ and receiving the gift of eternal life and having sin eradicated because it's applied to the cross of Christ. My sin is applied to the cross of Christ. Now, if I don't get that, then I'm going to be confused about, well, what is my role with these people? My role with all my friends somehow is to share the gospel with them or expose them to the gospel. All my friends.
Right.
Would your friend, Shawnee, even know that you are a Christian?
Yes, I believe they all know that I'm. I believe they all know I'm a Christian. Yes.
Okay.
But my family members, all accept the other family members accept the homosexuality in the other's lives. My children see that. Did I answer your question?
Well, let me chime in here. When I lived in Laguna Beach most of the time, there was more opportunity to have friendships with people that were homosexual, and versus Indianapolis here, where I'm just not in proximity. If I want to help someone, I don't start with what they're doing wrong in their life. I start by being Christ in their life, being the exception, not being the gay basher, the gay hater, the person that...
Not being the rule setter.
Exactly. I develop a relationship, and then I get the question, what's different about you? Are you really a Christian in because you treat me so differently than other Christians do? Well... They're not really treated differently by other Christians. They don't know any other Christians. They just see what's on television, and they hate that. So, and then also some of the folks that are a little deranged and saying what they say. So, I don't think it's wrong that you're not preaching that homosexuality is wrong to these folks, but I think it's wrong for you to withhold your faith from them.
Okay.
Right, to curb you. That's why I asked about you being...
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. That's what I wanted to hear, what Steve just said.
And you don't ever want to lie to them. And if when I get the question, so what do you think about the way I live? I say, okay, I've been through this, I've sifted through it, and I come down to this. It's not God's best, that there is something else that God calls you to that is better than this.
Right.
And that either alienates them or we get to have a conversation.
Right.
But it's not easy. Okay. All right. I'm glad that you called. I'll send you walking into walls. Mylon, do you have a comment about that, or Jill, anything before we go to our next caller?
Well, what will they see in my life if they perceive I'm a Christian? Will they perceive I have standards? Will they perceive that there is a sense of rightness and wrongness? Will they sense that I see injustice and wish to correct it? Will they sense that I have a moral side to me and there are some absolutes? And then we get into discussions, well, what are your absolutes? And you know, it goes back to where I started this whole conversation. There's only two kinds of people in this world, saved and unsaved. That's it. There's only two kinds. Yeah. That's a starting point.
But even showing them, even being able to have that type of conversation shows them that you're loving them as a person.
Respectful.
While at the same time not agreeing with their choices.
Right.
And that is more Christ-like than those that just shove the rules in their face. Much more. Because it's based on relationship.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's go over here to Josie from El Paso, Texas. And Josie watches us on FamilyNet. Hello, Josie.
Hello. Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. And how about you?
I'm doing fine. I just have a question that I've been trying to go in, but I have not been able to until today.
Okay.
Yeah, my question is, I have a friend. He speaks in tongues.
Yeah.
But sometimes he does get drunk. And he also speaks in tongues while he's drunk. I was wondering, I don't know if that's right or not. It's just weird to me.
Well, it certainly is interesting.
We do have Bible studies, or we do go to church, and because I belong to his church too. But it's weird that that I have seen him drunk, and he, like, out of the blue, just... We're not even talking about anything spiritual or anything, and he'll start speaking in tongues.
And
the thing is, it's understandable, though. What he's saying, you can't understand it, even if it's in some other language or something, but we can understand it.
So no one can interpret what he's saying?
We understand it.
You do understand it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so is what he's...
I have spoken in tongues, but it's been a long time ago. I have, but I have not anymore. But I do understand it, and some of the congregation, they do too.
Okay. Well, what do you guys think? You think a person could be under the influence of spirits and be overtaken by the Holy Spirit?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Bible tells us to not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in in Ephesians, it talks extensively about, in Ephesians 5, about I'm going to let one of two things rule me, either the Lord or alcohol. And the two are mutually exclusive. So I would, and of course we could say that there are different views on what it means to speak in tongues, the more Pentecostal charismatic viewpoint, which it's an ecstatic utterance of some sort, versus another viewpoint which says, no, they were foreign languages and dialects that were understandable by the people who heard them, as in Acts chapter 2 and other places. So we could talk about the definitions, but I think talking about your question, can I do this and be drunk? I would say I don't think there's... If I'm drunk, could I say, well, I'm a Christian and you need to accept Jesus? Yes, I could say that if I'm drunk. I could tell a police officer what my name is if I'm drunk. It doesn't mean we lose everything, but I wouldn't say, to answer your question, that would be something because Ephesians talks about it as saying, don't get drunk with wine. So
I know it's kind of weird because we have discussed it afterwards. He understands what he tells us, and we understand him. Even though he speaks in some other language, somebody will tell us, oh, I will understand what he's saying.
Well, so he may be able to spout out truth. However, it's confusing. You're calling
it's
us because
confusing.
It's confusing. Therefore, it probably causes people to stumble and doubt whether they can trust it or not. So even if
because
he's saying
we get
truth,
together and we have explored the saying that I know when God wants to say a message or something, he'll even a rock will speak.
Okay, Josie, I mm-hmm. think you need to clarify in English tongues that drunkenness is absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. It is listed as wrong in the Bible. And that you are not...
I understand it's an abomination to God.
Yeah, and you are not going to respond to him or honor him if he continues to be drunk.
Okay.
I mean, that's what... A leader who gets mm-hmm. drunk is a fallen leader.
Well, and then he's not using his gift wisely.
Right.
Right? And he's compromising his witness.
What would the purpose be of speaking in tongues while you're drunk?
I know it's totally...
Sometimes people get puffed up.
It's so confusing. It's so confusing.
Mm-hmm. And that's the problem with it.
Are you following this person?
And we don't leave him alone because we know that he drinks.
Are you following this person?
No. Well, he comes into the congregation and he's looking for help. He goes to AA. He's taking right now like some sort of pills for withdrawals or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to help himself, but sometimes he'll come drunk to the Bible studies or whatever, and then he's fine, and then out of the blue he starts
I wouldn't let somebody just stand up in a service of where I was preaching who was drunk and speak in any language. I don't care what it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a sign that he needs help.
Yeah. I don't think it's appropriate that people mm-mm. listen to him rather than usher him out and sit down and talk and say, okay, let's try to get some help for you.
Yeah, we do that. We do that a lot because sometimes he's very peaceful. I don't know. It's weird. It's like...
He's a passive drunk.
He's very peaceful when he does that, but at the same time, we know that he's drunk.
Okay. Well, let me send you a Life Recovery Bible. You can give that to him. I hope that will help. But I would be talking with the leaders of the church saying, look, we can't just let this continue like this. It is too confusing. Oh, there's music. Okay, before we go to the next caller, we'll take a break here. You're listening to New Life Live. Milan Yurkovich, he's the author of How We Love and How We Love Our Kids. Dr. Jill Hubbard, the author of The Secrets Women Keep. Both of those, all three of those resources, along with the new book, Walking Into Walls, can be obtained at newlife.com or just about anywhere else, too. But we really believe that resources like reading resources can change your mind about life. They can literally begin the transformation process and hopefully motivate you to connect with people and talk about some things you've never talked about before, to experience the freedom that comes in Christ. And if you're interested in a resource, go to newlife.com. Go to that website. It's really a great website, very easy to use, newlife.com.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married? The ideal husband? The amazing dad? The great lover? But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Milan Yurkovich. We've got a wonderful event coming up. It's called Lose It for Life. And maybe you've lost it for a month or lost it for a year. We want you to lose it for life. It's a wonderful program where we help you with counselors to deal with what it is that's fueling the eating. You can go on any kind of diet and lose the weight. We all know that. But can you keep it off? That's the big deal. And how disappointing it is to get on the newest diet, whether it's the broccoli diet or the cabbage diet, and then you gain it back and everybody else. It's horrible. But when we get to the reason, now we've got some hope. And that's what we do. You can find out about it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Michael from Chicago, Illinois, listening on WYLL. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
Speak right up there, and how are you today?
I'm okay. I've got some issues that I really would like your input on.
Okay.
I've been a cross-dresser for probably over 45 years.
Okay.
And I've tried to put it down and picked it up. Put it down, picked it up, heard. I'm a Christian. I struggle with the whole concept of, you know, what does God say about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just really have a hard time with it. I've given up a lot of the other things that went along with it. But
what were those things? What went along with it, Michael? What were the things that went along with it?
I was in the gay lifestyle in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten out of that. Married to a wonderful woman for 28 years.
Does she know you cross-dress?
Yeah.
What does she think about it?
Yeah, it's worth it.
She what?
She hates it.
She hates it. Okay. Well, Michael, you're calling a show. It's a counseling show, as you know. And so rather than just jump in and answer the question about cross-dressing, can you tell us about your parents and your childhood?
I grew up in a circus.
You grew up in a circus?
Literally?
Yeah. No, not literally, but definitely figuratively. I grew up in a home where my stepfather beat my mother. I actually grew up without a father until I was 8 years old. And then what was supposed to be the happiest day of my life turned out to be the worst, because it was my stepfather, and he was an alcoholic and abusive. And
oh, man.
Just not a very nice person.
What was your relationship like with Mom?
We were tight, but we were tight in a kind of a strange way, I guess. We're almost like girlfriends. Hard as that is to imagine, I was the one that she got up after the beating, and I made her smile, and I make her laugh, and I performed for her, so to speak.
Yeah.
Is
she alive?
Yeah. No, she's passed on.
How long ago did she die?
Probably 10, 12 years.
Oh, I'm sorry. Now, do you relate any of that to your desire for homosexual affection and then now the cross-dressing?
No, I think the homosexual lifestyle just was one of those things that I got into because I was looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
On top of everything else, I was molested by a neighbor for a number of years. So I was really screwed up sexually. I didn't know what was what. When I started masturbating at around the age of 10 or 12, something like that, it was to the Sears catalog, and it was the ladies' lingerie section. And it was never about getting into the woman. It was about getting into the clothes.
Right.
Along with that came fantasies of dominance and submission. Bondage, discipline, the whole nine yards.
So can I ask you a question, Michael?
Yeah.
What is, the broad category of my question is, what pain are you trying to make go away when you cross-dress? In other words, you feel something emotionally, a state of distress, despondency, fear, anxiety, something unpleasant, and then
something
triggers that desire that then when we do this, the excitement of it makes that bad feeling go away. And typically we do things because we have some sort of an exhilaration feeling, whether it's eating, whether it's hoarding. Everybody does something to take bad feelings and make them go away. So what is that bad feeling that you feel?
I've suffered with depression for a number of years. I don't know. I've tried to get in touch with, getting curious about what is it that I'm feeling when I want to do these things. And at some point, it transcended sex, it transcended everything, and became more a matter of just becoming victorious.
Yeah.
That was my alter ego, and it's fun to put on makeup, and it's fun to transform yourself and to
Michael, can you relate to this? Some would say that what cross-dressing does is it takes the pressure off of you, of your manhood, of being a man, what it means to be a man, and when you cross-dress, all of that confusion and pressure and stuff goes away, and you're then free.
What's replaced? It's replaced by adrenaline, don't you think, Steve?
Definitely. But I think there's also a stress relief just from being a man that you experience. We'll be back.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Michael, and he's a cross-dresser. Michael, I think the most significant thing you've said, though, is that your wife hates this. And are you doing anything to try to stop something that your wife hates you doing?
Yes.
Okay, what are you doing?
I'm a member of the Celebrate Recovery, and it's going well. I've also recently, I know it sounds crazy, but I've had a dream that I feel like was given to me by God, and he wants me to trust him more. I have a hard time with trusting men, and I think I've had a hard time trusting God.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, Michael, we were talking at the break about what you said about power and dominance. And it seems like you did feel safer with your mother. And you talked about the two of you almost being like girlfriends. And so, you know, dressing like a woman, I wonder if that helps you get in touch with that feminine power. Kind of also what Steve was saying about where it's hard to deal with some of the male issues and being masculine. But it's safer in that female role. So for you, that's created safety and relief.
Right.
And that's where you've hit out. And that what you're talking about in trusting God more, putting that security into God and not into this role that you play. This role that started at a very young age to protect you.
But in trying to give it up again, do you really think God cares if I wear women's pants or men's pants, if they look the same, or underwear that look, you know?
I think he cares about your wife and you growing closer together. And anything that hurts or diminishes that connection, he's definitely interested in that not happening.
I think also he wants to shift your dependence from female clothing. See, you are trusting in female clothing. instead of even bringing this into relationship with your wife.
Okay.
When you're scared, when you feel alone, when you feel afraid, when you feel like you want to do that, to bring that to her and draw the comfort from another human being, or to be in a men's support group and allow yourself to be comforted by other men in a non-sexual way.
Yeah.
That's bringing it into real life instead of trusting in that clothing. The clothing in and of itself, no, that's just the behavior, but it's what power you're giving that clothing.
You know, Steve, it's kind of like the it and lose it for life. Why do we eat? What's the it that we're trying to use food to make go away? And that's why Lose It for Life is so successful, because it helps to find that it. Now, Steve, your initial opening question to Michael was a good one, and just what's the setup for this? You see, the world will look at Michael and say, well, Michael, you just need to do what you and celebrate what you like to do. But clearly these are defensive strategies for coping with pain. And some people will go so far as to have sex change operations and cause themselves to be female because they will want to be that permanently. So, again, what I choose to feed will grow. What I choose to feed will be the thing that will take dominance. But what Steve and Jill are saying, Michael, is I have to allow the relationship between God and people to take the place of what this cross-dressing does, that they will provide the relief, and you need to get into marriage counseling and learn how it is I let another person nurture, comfort, and care for me when I'm alarmed, scared, out of my brains. I'm really worried
chaotic.
About something, chaotic, that I learn to let people contain me. Right now, the clothing is containing you, which is non-relational relief versus relational relief of letting people contain you. There's a big difference. And God wants us, all of us, no matter what our issue is, to move from non-relational relief into relational relief.
Yep. So well said, Mylon. And Michael, I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I hope that will be a blessing to you.
Thank you for your openness, Michael.
Yeah.
We appreciate talking to you.
All right. Let's go to Tim from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Tim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. How can we help you today?
Well, I've been listening to you guys for about the last year. I respect your counsel.
Thank you.
I'm in a 20-year marriage that's tomorrow I'm seeing an attorney, and I'm going to file on and get this thing over. I wanted your input on it. I've been in recovery for a long time. When I met my wife, now I had been sober 8-9 years, and there was this one night where I went to see her. She had been drinking. We were just seeing each other. But that night I left. I didn't like what I saw, and she followed me out and said she didn't want to mess this up. And I said, well, I can't be in a relationship with somebody who drinks like this. She said, I won't. And I thought from that point on that that she was sober. A year ago, in October, what I found out early on in the marriage is that if you got into a disagreement, the way she argued was to escalate, and she would escalate to whatever point necessary. And so I learned early on that I had to be the one to just stop. And then over the years that escalation just kind of turned into verbal abuse. And a year ago in October, she finally came home and she walked in and said, I'm leaving you. I had a family reunion the next day. She said, I'm not going to that. And I'm sleeping in this bedroom until I'm out of here.
So have you asked her to do anything helpful? With you?
The verbal abuse just continued. I mean, I felt like I was just getting beat on for the first 7 months of this while we separated. See, after 4 days, after she told me she was going to leave, after 4 days and me talking to my family and the whole bit, she was still there. And I said, did you tell me you were going to leave? Yeah. So what's the story? And the next day she's gone. But then she tells her family that I kicked her out because now the whole thing has changed. Mm-hmm. And then the verbal abuse starts. And after 7 months, I'd had enough and said, you know, I'm going to file. And now, of course, it's all changed.
Okay, so what's the question for us then?
Well, I just want, you know, I feel like I was abandoned probably before the marriage even happened, because now I find out that she was emotionally involved with somebody while we were engaged. That happened again late in the marriage. Both times when I confronted her on this, she would attack me with being abusively jealous. And
okay,
I would stop.
So what's the question then that we could answer for you?
Am I abandoned? Do I go ahead with this divorce?
Okay. Mylon, Jill, what do you guys think?
Is your wife a believer? I need to make that clear in my mind.
Yes, she is.
Okay. Has she had a physical relationship with anyone else?
It's never been physical.
Okay.
It's the way I looked at her, and I said the way I look at it is, you were in love with this guy before we got married. You saw him one last time, and she said, no, I wasn't in love with him, but I was in lust with him.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that was as big a betrayal as...
Well, of course it is, and this is why we have the Every Women in the Battle support groups, you know, and conferences, because what's it like to be betrayed? And it's a horrible thing to be betrayed. And I think at the very least, there needs to be a boundary set that says, I will have a relationship with you if you're willing to do the following things. Jill, what would you add to that?
Well, I guess I'm wondering, Tim, what your wife is willing to do. I hear that she's very reactionary and uses her anger to kind of control things. What is she willing to do to save a 20-year marriage?
She asked me to come to counseling with her.
Okay.
I did. I walked in and they both sat there and said they were there to have me tell them exactly what my problems were with Vicki. And I said, no, I said, this woman is verbally abusive. She knows it. I said, I'd rather hear her tell us what the problems are. And she says, well, I can't remember. I just block all that out. And then I feel betrayed, because this is hurtful stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we've got to go to a break, so we'll come back and give you some more input on that, Tim.
You are listening to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or it's newlife.com. That's the place to go. It's also the place that you can help us. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Okay, we're back. We're talking with Tim, and I don't know, Mylon, Jill, I don't know what you're thinking, but it seems like to me that Tim ought to try to get back into marriage counseling with her and see if there's some way to resurrect this thing. What are you thinking?
Well, we agree with that. Yeah. Jill, you want to speak?
Well, I think... You know, going to counseling, I'm not sure how many times, Tim, you went to counseling, but I think with this long of a marriage, to work through some of the issues or to at least be able to speak to them with a third party, whether the marriage survives or not, I think would be an important part of your healing. And some, you know, often with a third party, that can person can help to be kind of a referee even between two people that see things in an opposite way. And certainly it's understandable that after so many years of abuse, you would be tired of living that way. And I think, Mylon, that's where you were talking about him setting boundaries and saying what he's willing to live with and what he's not.
Well, let's say he goes into a counselor who's been meeting with the wife, mm-hmm. and then they're both staring at him when he walks through the door.
Right.
That's sort of an unequal ground.
Right.
And so perhaps this his wife stays in therapy with this individual, but they go to another therapist mm-hmm. who specializes in couples who can look at both of them and begin to watch what happens.
Right.
And I think that would be very imperative. Your wife sounds like possibly she could be what we call in her book the vacillator, who is idealistic, is enthralled by love, and
it's very intense,
it's intoxicating. Mm-hmm. They're very prone to emotional affairs.
Stirs up conflict.
Yeah, and then of course in their more extreme and in more extreme cases with other things involved, they also include struggle with impulse control with respect to drinking and mm-hmm. their behavior in front of other people, and they thrive on the accolades and the praise and the looks and the flirtatiousness of other people, and that is a form of abandonment. To speak to your question, very much, it's a form of abandonment. Mm-hmm. But is that the same abandonment in 1 Corinthians 7 that says if a non-believer leaves a believer, you know, then let him go? That's not the same. This is where, Jill, we've got to get back in and say what's really going on here. I think mm-hmm. the 20-year marriage is worth saving if you can.
Well, yes, it's at least worth reflecting on and not just filing for divorce, because I don't know if there's children involved, but you may always be in relationship with this person. So
okay,
it'd be worth the time. And
I'm going to send you Mylon and Kay's book, How We Love, or Walking Good. Into Walls to Prove We Love Each Other, or something like that. But anyway, it's How We Love. And let's see if that could give you some new insight into who you guys are and how you got together and how you might keep it together. All right, final phone call. Let's talk with Cindy here from Huntsville, Alabama. Don't have a lot of time, Cindy, but I did want to get to your call. How are you?
Just okay.
Okay, what's going on?
Friday night, our 15-year-old son with a girl in his room.
Were they visiting? Were they in the bed together? What happened?
It was 10:30 at night. He snuck her in the house, and we figured that something else was getting ready to happen. And then when we talked to him about it, he said that he became sexually active about 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
We go to church, and we are both teach life leaders of life groups. And
well, okay. So how could we help you?
Well, we don't really know what to do now. What do we do next?
Well, what about his relationship with Dad? What's that like?
Well, they do a lot together. They, you know, they have a seems like a good relationship, but my husband did struggle with pornography about 10 years ago.
Okay. Go ahead,
and Jill. Where is Dad at now with that? And how is he in terms of talking to your son about sexuality?
Well, he's very open. You know, he's good with that now. He doesn't really struggle with that anymore. He's went to counseling and worked through some programs. We went together, and he's really a new person.
Okay.
I'm not really sure. I mean, him and my son, they do basketball together, and
okay.
Cindy, let me ask you. I'm sorry, Jill. Please.
So, Cindy, it sounds like now that you have this new information, and I'm hearing in your voice, this is something that's alarming to you, that your son has become sexually active and that he would sneak someone into his room. I think it's a time to really up the quality time that both of you spend with him in dialoguing yep. about life and life choices. And about standards, not in terms of shaming and punishing, but saying, you know, now you're engaging in adult behavior that has adult consequences. And while you're still here in our home, we're going to give you more guidance because you're giving us the message that you need that. And, you know, kind of reiterating those boundaries of, you know, sneaking people into your room and doing that kind of thing isn't acceptable. But really trying to connect with his heart and get him to think through his actions and why it's important to say no and why it's important to wait, even though everything in his body is screaming yes.
Well, our previous caller shared with us, Michael, who grew up mm-hmm. in a circus, he said, I started masturbating at 10 years old. Mm-hmm. See, so do we really know when our children become sexually thoughtful or the thoughts no. come into their head? Because this is something happened way before this. Mm-hmm. I became sexually right. active, but I've been thinking about sex for a long time. Do I even know my kids are talking or mm-hmm. thinking and talking to other people about it?
Right.
Where has he gotten his information?
Well,
what does he think?
He's
about?
A sexual being, and that's right. what every young man's battle is all about. When do I get introduced, like we said on another show, and really we're doing a show on this topic, homosexuality, in another couple of weeks. But it's all about...
It's really about sexuality.
It's really about controlling our sexuality. And ever introduced to the idea that I have to do that, mm-hmm. it's something I have to bring into control. That's God's will for my life. It's a lifetime battle, right, Steve?
It is a lifetime battle, and... I tell you, reading every young man's battle together, the three
yes.
of you even, is a great start on a different path for him. But I tell you, if you leave this alone, if you let this go, if you don't address it at age 12, 13, you know, by the time you discover what's going on, there's already a problem.
Or if you just punish it without
yeah.
talking
yeah,
about
that's
it.
That's right. You've got to talk. You've got to mm-hmm. process it. And together, you know, you can have a better outcome. I hope that's helpful to you, Cindy. I will send you Every Young Man's Battle. And God bless you there. Well, we're almost out of time. Really need your help to support this program. If there's any way you can come through here at the end of the month, we really need your help. A one-time gift would just be so... incredible. We're struggling again. We got through summer. Now we struggle in September. It's just, it's always something. But, you know, we're ahead of last year. We're making progress. We feel good about that. But we really need your help here at the end of September. If the Lord is moving you in that direction, if maybe you've been blessed in some way and you'd like to share that blessing, sow that seed, please do call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Go to that website. You can find all sorts of stuff there, but mainly you can find out how you can help us and support us. We really would appreciate it. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Well, that's all the time we have. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to all of you who listen and support this ministry. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.